Dr. Nicole, Exoceuticals, a new skincare line that you helped create. Thank you, by the way, for sending me a few products. I just started using the
Is that why your skin is glowing?
that and a Zoom filter, but I do feel like it's working. I've only been using it for 2 days, but I've been using the vitamin C serum, and I gotta say, I love it. And I know that there is some crazy technology that you use to make sure that the skincare was the best it could be. So tell us about the creation of it.
So, I think as a physician, I've always been interested in health and wellness, and I've always had a natural curiosity for science and research and data. And, I'm turning 40 this year. I started noticing some subtle signs of aging, little fine lines and things. And so I started doing research to try to figure out what was the latest and greatest that could help me age gracefully or, slow down the aging process. And so I came across a plethora of research, which ultimately led me to this one physician who is just like a bio visionary in the field of regenerative medicine. Her name is Robin Smith, and she is one of the world's leading experts in exosomes. So we started talking, and she had all of these ideas about how exosomes could be applied to skincare and how we could really target your skin from within and help reverse the signs of aging. So we started talking, and I decided I love this idea. I'm going to be a part of this. And I became a founding partner of Exoceuticals, and we've been working on it for the last year.
I love
Wow.
that. And I love you talking about how you notice, just like as everyone's getting older, some little things that you're like, okay, I want to try to help out with that. What would you say your relationship? Because like, it's so funny you saying that, because when I'm like, you look amazing, but what was your relationship to skincare before starting to realize like the fine lines and everything? Like, have you always been like skincare obsessed, or was it something you were like, we can deal with that later on, and now we're at later on?
I would lie to you if I said, I was in my 20s and wearing SPF. I think when you're young, you're a little more reckless with your behavior and you're not as cautious about things. So, when I was younger, I probably didn't put in the effort that I wish I would have. I would say when I started turning 30, more or less, I started taking better care of my skin, being very cautious about sun exposure and, moisturizers and whatnot. And then I would say 35, I was like, okay, I really need to get on this skincare bandwagon. it's aging is a blessing, but it comes with unavoidable changes. And I think we have to be proactive about our health, not just our skincare, but our health. And that's one of the things I love about Exoceuticals is it's not just covering up the signs of aging. It's targeting the skin from within. It's exosomes that are telling your skin to regenerate and to heal and to, kickstart when they've been lazy, so to speak.
For those of us who are not doctors, can you explain in layman's terms what is an exosome?
Yes, I will simplify it. So
Okay.
exosomes are these tiny little vesicles. You can think of them as small little bubbles that your cells naturally release. These bubbles contain growth factors, they contain cytokines, they contain proteins, and those little bubbles float to other cells and tell your cells what to do. It's basically how cells communicate with one another. So we extract the exosomes from adipose stem cells. Adipose stem cells are the base layer of skin. So these are the stem cells that tell your skin what to do. So we take these little signaling molecules. And through our patented production process, we have figured out a way to put these into skincare so that your skincare is delivering a message now, and it's telling your skin to regenerate, to make more collagen. It targets your skin directly. Exosomes that talk to your skin and target your skin in very simple terms. It's hard to simplify something scientific and make it so
No,
that the
I feel like
layperson understands.
we're following,
We're
yeah.
following. I know basically what I got. I love that cells gossip. That cells are
Yeah.
like
So cells gossip, and we have figured out how to get the message in the bottle and put it in your hands, so to
my
speak.
God. That is amazing. And it's, you know, going back to when Danny was asking about your relationship with skincare, I mean, we are all millennials here on this Zoom, and it's so unfortunate that I feel like our generation didn't prioritize skincare the way like Gen Zers are. Like 8-year-olds are using anti-aging creams, and I'm like, well, and then I think about myself in high school, I was like frying my skin.
I was in a tanning bed in high school. Let's not talk about that. But the pendulum has also swung like really far in the other side. I don't think 8-year-olds need to be like doing retinol treatments. You know, that's aggressive too. There should be a happy place in between us and them.
Yeah,
that's so, very real.
Totally. Now,
maybe Grayson, my son's generation, will get it right.
Oh my God. Yeah, hopefully. But watch, he's going to be like asking for retinol at like 4 years old. How old is he now?
He just turned 5.
Oh my God. Okay. So he's ready for retinol.
Oh, you guys, the research and the data on exosomes is really incredible. I mean, over the last 30 years, the number of studies have just increased exponentially. And exosomes have been used in wound healing, scar repair, skin regeneration, alopecia. They're even using them in hair transplants to increase the survivability of the hair grafts when you transplant hair. I mean, the data is really impressive.
And how does it feel? I mean, as someone who, like you said, like in your 30s, you started becoming more of a consumer of skincare products overall. How does it kind of feel now being on the other end of it and going at it with such a medical approach? Because I'm sure you have seen there's other brands out there that are kind of using just big words that don't mean anything, that, you know what I mean? Versus you coming more with a scientific approach. Like, is it changing your relationship with how you shop in general too?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I look at everything with a very critical eye, but it's also wonderful to have that critical eye be on the manufacturing side, because mm-hmm. you really feel like you stand behind a quality product, right? So it makes shopping for other things not so fun, but it makes making your own product really rewarding, because it's something that I can be like, this is great. Like I can stand behind this, and I can see the flaws in other product lines, you know, like hyaluronic acid, this serum is great. And now I'm like, well, how many different types of hyaluronic acid are there in your product? And what are the molecular weights of your hyaluronic acid? Like, how far are they going down in your skin? And I was like, yeah, I call BS.
Oh my God.
So it's amazing, but it also now has kind of jaded me when it comes to being a consumer.
Yeah. Now, living in Miami and also being on the Real Housewives of Miami, like, image is so important. How has, you know, sort of like living in Miami plus like being on TV impacted your relationship with aging? You were talking about wanting to, you know, age gracefully, but like, is there pressure to look young in Miami and in sort of like the Bravoverse and in the public sphere for you?
I mean, I think Miami in general is a very, a city that focuses on beauty a lot. Being on television certainly doesn't help. You know, I do think there is like a certain amount of pressure to look a certain way. But I also feel like I'm very true to myself. Like, you will see me at the grocery store with no makeup on. I mean, I'm doing the Zoom that you guys are going to put on the internet for everyone to see. My hair's in a bun and there's no glam happening here. So I do think I'm also very true to who I am. And I'm honest with myself. Listen, aging is unavoidable. Like, I'm turning 40. Am I going to look the way I looked when I was 20? No, but are there things that we can do to help us age slower, reduce the signs of aging, and help us look better? Absolutely. And that was our goal when we developed Exosuticals.
No, go ahead, Danny. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, and I feel like it's such a thing where we are all kind of talking about where skincare is like the most crucial part of that, but it's always the most forgotten, I feel, with a lot of people, because it's like never the flashy thing of like, oh, I'm going to go tanning and I'm going to like do a bunch of glam and I'm going to do all this, but it's not, it's putting stuff on the problem instead of trying to solve the problem.
Absolutely. And people are always like, oh, what's your makeup routine? And I'm like, it's not the makeup routine, guys. If you have a bad canvas, it doesn't matter what paint you throw on it. It's not going to look smooth and nice. Like, we have to change the dynamic from like fixing the outside to working on the inside, which is one of the things that I think is so amazing about our product, that it really targets the skin from within, stimulating your body to produce its own collagen, its own elastin, so that your skin starts to heal and regenerate.
diving into the science of skincare, has it changed your relationship at all with like Botox and fillers and injectables? Are you like not doing them as often? Not that I don't know if you ever did them. I mean, this all can just be natural. I'm someone who loves a shot here, there, and everywhere. So I'm just saying.
So I am a Botox lover. You know, I do like to not have a lot of movement. So I still do my Botox when I'm not pregnant. I have not done Botox, hence all of this that's happening. But I do plan on continuing Botox. I think, you know, there's different things that you can do to help you age gracefully. I think there's lasers, there's injectables, there's skincare, and they all kind of are a different piece of the pie, so to speak. I have really moved away from fillers. Personally, I had a bad experience with fillers. I tried to fill in a little bit of areas where I felt, you know, had lost some collagen and fat over the years. And I felt like it looked so unnatural, in my opinion. Like it just kind of felt like, so I ended up dissolving most of my fillers, and I will refrain from doing fillers as much as possible. I want to, you know, really work on my skin and building my own collagen, things like lasers and exosomes and treatments like that, game on all the time. But I personally just didn't like the way I looked with fillers.
Isn't it crazy how the dissolver works so fast? Like I got my lips done a few years ago and honestly, they were so botched. And then I ended up getting them dissolved by Dr. Jen from The Real Housewives of Orange County. She was like, girl, we need to fix those lips.
She did reach out for help. Yeah.
So she dissolved them and literally within like seconds, it was gone. It was honestly so, so amazing. But it's like interesting how you really think you need something and then you realize that you don't.
You know, the thing is that initially they may look nice, but with time fillers migrate and your skin changes. So like, yeah, it looked pretty when your filler was like here. And then 2 years from now, when it's like down here or it's bumpy or, you know, your fat planes have changed. It's kind of this vicious cycle when you start the fillers. And I would rather really like work on my skin texture and tone and quality than put stuff that's not natural in it.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel that's a hard thing though. Like you said, the cycle where it's like someone starts it and they're like, oh, that worked 2 years ago. Let me do it again. But now your face is different. And you're kind of just like, well, what's going on? You almost can't stop it because you think you have to keep on doing it. Because if you stop it, everything's just drooping down.
Yeah. So I'm going to stay away. Not to say that I'll never do them. You know, they'd never say never. But right now, that's not my priority. My priority is really healing my skin, having my skin make its own collagen. Like what's better than your own body's collagen? If you can keep that your collagen and your elastin in your skin up, then there's really not a need for all of this artificial filler. Yeah.
And do you notice your skin reacting? Because obviously you are about to have your Taurus very, very soon, which we are so excited about.
You know, I think baby's going to come a little early. We may end up with an Aries, guys.
Oh,
fiery. Okay.
Yeah.
We love it. I'm an Aries moon, so very familiar with that energy. It's a lot of fun. You're Virgo.
I'm a Virgo, September 2nd.
She is.
Okay, a Virgo.
She's zooming in her scrubs to talk about her like scientifically approved skincare. Yes, she's a Virgo. Wait, but I was going to ask, how is pregnancy and skincare, like, are you having to do different steps, routines, or is your skin kind of just maintaining its level?
I mean, there are products that I would incorporate into my skincare routine that are not recommended during pregnancy. So during pregnancy, there's things like retinol that's not recommended because it could be teratogenic or harmful for the baby. And I'm not a huge retinol user because I do have fairly sensitive skin, but it's one of those things that, you know, I like to like sprinkle in every now and then, like once or twice a week, just to kind of, you know, keep the dead skin off. Hydroquinone that's supposed to help with hyperpigmentation is also not recommended. So I've definitely cut things out. And I've just been using exoceuticals, hydrating with our hyaluronic acid serum and our moisturizers and, you know, just avoiding anything harsh. I think it looks pretty good considering.
You look great. Now,
yeah, I'm like, I just want to copy you. I'm just like taking notes.
Yes.
No lasers, obviously. You can't do lasers when you're pregnant. There are certain treatments that aren't recommended. So I've just been keeping it very simple. I do have a little bit of melasma underneath this blush, a little hyperpigmentation from the hormones of pregnancy, but we'll tackle that after we finish breastfeeding.
Yes. Now, overall, how has pregnancy been? You look like you're glowing and thriving and you're very close to giving birth. So
yeah, I'm very fortunate with Grayson and baby G. We have had great pregnancies. I haven't had a day of morning sickness. When I tell you, I've never been nauseous. I've never thrown up. I don't get very swollen. I've never had preeclampsia or gestational diabetes or any of these complications that some of my friends have had. Yeah. So I have been very blessed. The only thing is that Grayson ended up being an emergency C-section. So now we're doing a repeat C-section. So that wasn't part of my birth plan, but if that's the worst of it, then I came out pretty unscathed.
That's good. And you had a fun baby shower to celebrate too.
We had a baby shower yesterday. I'm very tired today, but it was really nice. All the girls the girls that I invited from ROM came to celebrate. My closest friends from high school, from college, my coworkers from the hospital came. We had about 35 women, friends and family, come celebrate. And Gertie decorated and did all the details. And she did such a beautiful job. We're going to be sharing a little clip later on about all the little details. You know, her eye for those things is really just, there's a reason that she's one of the top wedding planners in the world and has awards from Vogue and Harper's and all these things, because she really is just a creative genius.
Oh yeah, you are so blessed that you had Gertie to gertify the baby shower. What is it like sort of navigating the end of your pregnancy while cameras are down? Is that kind of a relief for you in a way?
Honestly, when they told us that the filming was going to be pushed back a little bit, part of me was kind of like a little not disappointed, but I know that viewers were excited to like be a part of the you know, the birth of the baby and us moving into the new house. But I also knew that personally that was going to be a lot. You know, giving birth is a very hormonal and stressful time. So it's now a relief to not kind of have to deal with that. I'll be a little bit settled into the new house. The baby will kind of be a little older. We'll be fully vaccinated when all the cameramen come around. So I'm happy that it actually all worked out in the end.
And it's also kind of nice that you don't have the pressure to make something like a baby shower an all cast thing or like a thing on camera. You can invite the girls that you actually get along with. You can invite your hometown friends from your childhood and just kind of make it all about you and baby G.
Absolutely. You know, I don't have the best of luck hosting all cast events. So there was no reason to need to, you know, turn our baby shower into a hot mess. So I was very happy to just have, you know, a few of the girls and the ones I'm closest to. And it was all smooth sailing, no drama.
That is good. And I mean, I'm glad there is no drama yet from it, because I would hate that to happen. But I assume there was anybody who wasn't invited. Did anybody send a text to you like, did my stork get lost in the mail with your mail?
Nobody has like sent messages and been like, what's up? Why wasn't I invited? I mean, I also think it's very obvious, right? Like when certain people host events, I don't expect an invite because we're just not there at this point. Maybe we'll get there one day, but I'm very honest with myself and where I stand with somebody. So I don't want to be fake about something. And I think whoever wasn't invited knows that and probably wouldn't have come anyways. So we're fine.
Of all the girls who weren't at the baby shower, who are you hoping to build a better friendship with when cameras do go up again for Miami? Is there anyone where you think, okay, I'm almost ready to extend that olive branch or accept that olive branch?
So Lars and I have been good. We're like our, you know, we talk, we're fine. There's no olive branch to be extended there because we're good. But you know, Alexia and I, we always at the end of a season, we like look at each other and we're like, why? Like, what is it that prohibits us from like not getting along? Like, we should just mesh naturally. We have so many things in common in terms of our background, our history, our parent. Like, it should be a no-brainer for us to be friends, but for some reason it never works. So maybe this next season four will be the Alexia and Nicole season, maybe.
It's funny you say that, because I do feel like you guys on paper would vibe so well. Like,
right. It seems like we should be a good fit, but for some reason, something always happens and then it just, we never get on the same page.
Are things okay with Adriana, especially after Anna of it? Okay, good. That's
Yes, things are good with Adriana. Adriana and I talk. We were fine at the reunion. She was actually invited. She had RSVP'd, yes, and then she had a horrible head cold. And she texts me in the morning. She's like, "I'm sending a courier with your gift. I'm so sorry, but I don't want to get you sick." And I appreciate that. Like, I don't need to be getting sick right now. 4 weeks to go in my pregnancy. But no, we're in a very good place, and Adriana was invited.
Oh, I love, love, love to hear that. Now, Adriana, she is a friend of, and there are three friend ofs who do such a stellar job on the Real Housewives of Miami. They are all such power players. But Dr. Nicole, if you had the power to give a mojito to just one.
That is not nice.
Well, it's very nice to the girl who you choose. Who do you think is most worthy of getting a mojito?
You know, I feel like they've all had seasons where my answer would vary depending on the season. Okay. I'm going to have to give the mojito this season to Miss Kiki Barth.
Yes.
I mean, she had me rolling on the floor laughing during her confessionals. She's not scared to say it the way it is. I think they all bring something to the show. I'm not even the biggest fan of Marisol, and I can acknowledge that Marisol brings something to the show. And I do think other seasons I would have maybe picked Marisol or I would have picked Adriana, but I think this season, based on performances or their engagement in the cast, I'm going to say Kiki.
I love that because I feel so many people agree with you on that, because not only is she so funny, I feel she opened up more or had the opportunity to open up more this season about her personal life and how some of the other ladies made her feel. Like, her going back and forth with Lisa was so intense, but also I was like, oh, I'm glad Kiki's like given us not just the funny moments, because I feel like maybe there was a part of her where she's like, I guess that's what I'm here for, but now she's like, no, I'm here to be myself.
No, Kiki has an incredible backstory. It's really really heartfelt, and if you ever have a chance to like sit down and talk and she opens up with you about her past, you know, she's been through a lot and she's got a great story to tell. So I hope that one day she gets the opportunity to like really share that with viewers, because it's incredible.
Yeah. And I mean, this past season was such a big one for you. I mean, I feel like you really let the viewers inside your relationship with your father, which rest in peace to him. He was such a joy on the show. How are you feeling today in the process of grieving? I know it's like such a Danny and I both have lost our father. So we're
right on there. The Dead Dad Club.
Yeah. we've had a tumultuous relationship. I think we've been very open about that, but we were really in the best place that I think we have ever been in my adult life, where I was, able to understand and really have meaningful conversations with him. And we talked about a lot of stuff. I think it meant a lot for him, for me to accept his girlfriend and to like, accept him for who he was and what he wanted to be. And I was there, I think I was like, you know what? He's not going to change at this age. Like, it is what it is. If I want to have a relationship with him, I have to stop wanting to change him. And so we were in a good place. I remember our finale, he went with his girlfriend and he was dancing to like Adriana's song and we were dancing and it was nice. We kind of like closed the loop. Just unfortunate that we didn't get to enjoy it that much.
Yeah.
I do love that you were able to tell him though that a baby was.
That made me.
Yeah, we told everybody on Halloween, because we all get the kids together to trick or treat, all the siblings and the nephews. And so we told them, Grayson had his costume and they were changing him. And when they took the costume off, he had a shirt that said Big Brother, or like soon to be Big Brother. So everyone got to see that. It's a shame he won't get to meet her, but he knew that we were having a baby and he was very excited. He was a really good grandfather to Grayson, so I'm sure he would have been great to.
And I feel that's such like a hard but beautiful lesson to learn too, what you were talking about, how it's like there's so many people hold on to things and like hoping someone changes. I've done that so much. And then you just get to a point where you're like, oh, this is just making my life harder versus just taking someone as they are and learning how to like vibe with that, I feel is also a lesson that can be used for so many other relationships and situations to come. It's not a fun lesson because sometimes it just involves you kind of being like telling yourself to shut the hell up, but then it is ultimately for the best.
No, absolutely. I have a girlfriend whose dad's in the hospital and she doesn't want to go see him. And I'm like, he may never leave. Like, you may never have this opportunity again. And if you don't go talk to him, you don't settle that, like the only one who's going to suffer, he'll be gone. And you're going to be the one that lives with that. Like, you know, like, I think sometimes you really have to just do some soul searching and do it for your own benefit, like your own peace of mind.
Is there any lesson you learned during these past few years with your dad that you might want to incorporate into your own parenting style? I mean, not necessarily how he parented, but anything that like you learned throughout this experience with him and how it's going to inform the way you raise your little girl and continue to raise Grayson.
I mean, I don't know if it necessarily so much applies to like how I'm going to raise Grayson, but you know, I spent years of my life very resentful of my father for his choices that I viewed as selfish, or, you know, him not loving me enough. Or I had created this whole narrative in my own head for why he did things. And I never took the time to talk to him until we went to therapy about, and hearing it from him, his reasons for doing things were so different than the reasons I had imposed on him. You know, like he was like, I didn't spend time with you. He's like, because I was protecting you from the things that I was doing. I didn't want to expose you to that. I didn't think I was good enough to be there and parent you the way you deserved to. So it was like an act, like a selfless act. And I viewed it as a selfish act. So it's just sometimes just talking to someone and giving them the benefit of the doubt to express themselves before jumping to conclusions. So that's basically what I've learned. Like, don't listen. And I think a lot of problems would be solved if people would listen and not jump.
I was going to say the script writing energy is so real. I feel in so many people's heads where they like, it's like basically like when you're in the shower getting mad at someone, then you're like, wait, I'm just mad at them for something. I don't even know if that's what they did.
And but we then do it's it too all late the time. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now to bring it back to Exoceuticals and the little girl that's about to enter the world, how do you plan on talking to your daughter about beauty standards? Because I feel like raising a daughter is going to be so different than raising a boy, because I feel like there's so much more pressure on girls when it comes to their appearances.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I haven't exactly figured out how I'm going to tackle this one. I'm sure it's going to be a work in progress. But you know, I don't want her to worry or focus on what other people think or feel. You know, like everyone else is just noise. I want her to be confident and feel good about herself. That's my biggest priority. Like, I want to teach her to just be a strong, independent woman who forms her own thoughts and has her own feelings. And if she wants to dress a certain way because it makes her feel good, that's what matters, right? Like, it doesn't matter if your neighbor next door likes the way you look. It's as long as you feel good. Like, I want her to be comfortable in her own skin, whatever she decides that's going to look like.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, I remember like when I was a teenager, I was like, Mom, I need to go to the tanning bed. And I like made her sign the form to like, let me go to the tan. Like, I was very like pushy about the things I want. Like, what if your daughter comes to you one day and is like, hey, like I'm 15, it's time for some lip filler. Like what do you do? Especially in Miami, I feel like that happens a lot probably.
I mean, listen, I was 16. I wanted to get my belly button pierced. And my mom was like, absolutely not. So what did I do? I did what every other rebellious 16-year-old does. I went and I got my belly button pierced at some place that didn't ask me for ID. And is it the biggest regret still to this day, that stupid belly button piercing, like that scar in that hole? So I'm gonna tell her this story. And I'm going to show her my belly button. I'm going to be like, do you want one of these? This is what happens when you make dumb decisions when you're uninformed and you're a child. Like, think about it, you know, like, don't be impulsive. If eventually that you decide that this is what you want, then like, you know, you can do what you want when you're a grown up. But as long as you live under my house, absolutely not.
Also, that's the parenting in my book. I mean, I know like there are the people that are like, oh, like you have to like have a model. I'm like, but sometimes it's just like, no.
You know, I think my strategy is going to be, and has always been with Grayson, to let him arrive at his own conclusions, but to give him narratives and stories and suggestions so that he thinks about things maybe differently, or he approaches his decision in a different way. Like, I'm like, do you remember what happened the last time we went to that birthday party and you had those two cupcakes and mommy told you not to? Remember when you threw up in the car? You think you want to do that again? And then he's like, no. So then he's like, you're right, mommy, no more cake.
it works.
So it sometimes, so just, yeah. And then they feel like they made their own choices, but you kind of guided them by providing them the narrative and the story and the example. That's what I try to do. Sometimes they just say no and lock the door and like, you're screwed. But
how excited for someone's boyfriends too. Yeah.
Oh my God. So true. Nicole, how excited is Grayson to be a big brother and to be a big brother to a little sister?
He is very excited. He's so cute. So at night when we're like all watching TV after dinner, we always do 30 minutes of TV time as a family. And he likes to put his head on my belly because he can like feel like when she pushes. And he's like, she's touching me. And he gets really excited. And he's sweet. He's a really sweet, loving, affectionate boy. And I think he's going to be an amazing big brother. I think the age gap is good because he's old enough to understand. Sometimes when they're too close in age, there's a little bit of like sibling rivalry or jealousy. But I think we're past that now because he understands more.
And it's like an exciting new role he gets to be, where it's like, yes.
He's at the age where he's like a people pleaser, you know, like he kind of wants to, like at school, he wants to do good and he wants to get the sticker and he wants to get his name on the board. And he's all about kind of positive reinforcement right now. So the ability to teach someone and to be the big brother and to help and like that are all things that are really high up, I guess, on his priority list right now. So I think the timing is really good for us.
Oh, that's so, as you get closer to having this baby and moving into the house finally, are you and Anthony closer to thinking about wedding planning, or is that still on the back burner? I got married last year and we were going to plan a big wedding, and then we ended up just like eloping because we hated every part of the wedding planning process. So when you express your disinterest in planning, I 100% feel it.
I mean, and right now I am just hoping that the house is ready. It's like such a tight call. And I told Anthony, I said, listen, if it's not 100% ready, I don't want to move in. Like, I don't want to move in and have people hanging drapes and, like, you know, workers in and out of the house, dusty. So I think it's going to be so close that it's going to be one of those things where we just decide, you know what, we're going to stay another month in the apartment, which is not ideal because it's very tight quarters. And I wasn't planned, like, I'm not set up in the apartment for a baby, but I think it's going to just be one of those things where it's going to probably be easier to stay and just have like a little bassinet, a little change, like, you know, minimal things for the baby for the first month. And then we'll move once everything is done.
So like what, the wedding is not on the brain.
Oh, no.
She's like, I need curtains.
I'm like, I don't know.
I'm thinking about the bassinet.
Yeah, I'm like a changing table, diaper pail, bassinet.
Yeah.
That's where my head is.
I love it. Well, Nicole, we won't take up any more of your time as you literally speak to us live from the hospital in your scrubs. We appreciate you taking the time, and we're so excited for ExoSuperCool.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you. It has really been a labor of love, and we're really excited about it.
Yeah, I can't wait for my like exosomes to start gossiping with each other.
Listen, your skin looks great. Those messages really in a bottle are working.
Yeah.